And if you don't know, now you know.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Texas Panhandle Sports Podcast, brought to you by Belmar Bakery and Cafe and Security Insurance Agency in Perryton and Booker. I'm Steve Forrest, your host, alongside AGN Sports Journalist Kale Steed. And today is Wednesday, November 9th, 2016, the day after Election Day. Donald Trump is our new president this morning. Did you stay up and watch any of the coverage last night?
I stayed up till about 12:30. It's amazing to me that, and you know, I voted, so I have the right to say this. It's amazing to me that a guy that with the controversy surrounds the man, and a man I watched once shave Vince McMahon's head in a WWE pay-per-view WrestleMania,
that's right,
is the president of our nation. But hey, you know, congratulations to him.
Congratulations.
He took the vote, and you know, and that's what's great about this, man. It's a vote, and it's through the American public. And
I didn't see your picture on Facebook with your sticker on your shirt that said I voted.
Because I got rid of my Facebook after
you did.
1 week, man.
I know you did.
I couldn't take it, man.
Just couldn't take it. Not your style, man.
Not my style at all.
Not your style,
man.
At all. Yeah. It is my style. I like it.
No, but, if I had kids, I think it'd be great to be on there and stuff, but yeah,
it's not nearly as Twitter is. I'll give you that. But again, yep, congratulations to Trump,
right,
who won it. Today is Wednesday, the day after, and he's going to be the new president. So, you know, I stayed up till about 1:30 in the morning trying to wait for them to call it because I knew it was getting close. I figured they were going to call it any minute, and then like 10 minutes after I went to bed, they ended up calling it, and then he gave his speech and everything. So, but anyway, this is not a political show. This is a sports show. We got a lot of sports to talk about here in the area.
That's about all the politics I can handle.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But sports in this area, in the Panhandle, this is what we're all about. And we're going to start with some volleyball. There's some big stuff going on with volleyball,
man.
Right now. Five teams, right?
Five teams are going to be representing the Amarillo area in regional tournaments this weekend. I don't remember five teams being – I mean, I remember a few. I mean, three, four usually, but – to see five going down still this late in the season, that's amazing. And it shows just how good volleyball in Amarillo is. And let's get started here. Amarillo High took care of business last night like we knew they would. Our talented young sports writer, new sports writer, Colby Gordon, went out to Dimmitt last night and covered that game. He also covered Highland Park, who fell to shallow water, our only team to lose last night. But, hey, what a year for Tory Blankenship and Highland Park. They're doing some great things, and they're going to have some talent coming back. Then Randall knocks off Hereford at a packed house, over 2,000 people at Caprock, Steve, last night. And Randall's advancing. So Randall, Amarillo High will be in the 5A regional. Then you have Bushland, the number one team in the state in 4A. They rolled over Denver City. They're heading to the regional in 4A. Then Fritch, upstart Sanford Fritch with new coach Troy Fry, an Amarillo boy. He's got Fritch into the 2A regional, and then Fort Elliott all of a sudden in 1A. So five teams in the region, man. That's just powerhouse volleyball, and it's showing exactly how good we are at volleyball here in the Texas Panhandle.
Yeah, it is. And those, we mentioned it on Monday, that some of those teams, you know, Bushland, Amarillo High, you know, Randall, those teams are always around, you know.
Always
right there.
And Fritch and Fort Elliott, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. It's great for those.
And, you know, Highland Park didn't go down easy to shallow water last night. Talent today, or Highland Park held their own. So, I mean, we have some talent, and I mean, we're looking at maybe getting one or two teams to state. So that's pretty awesome, at least, if not more. I'd like to see all five go, but if they don't, get a few going.
That's exciting stuff from the volleyball world, and we'll keep you updated right here on the Texas Panhandle Sports Podcast.
Always.
As always. But moving on from volleyball, we got a lot of football to talk.
Oh, man.
How many games tomorrow?
11 Thursday games, 14 Friday games, and one Saturday game involving Texas Panhandle teams. Now, you know, those guys over at Channel 7, Channel 4, they got New Mexico and Oklahoma to deal with, too. So, even more for them. But luckily for us, we don't have to do that.
Yeah, exactly. You're strictly in the Panhandle.
Yeah.
But still, lots of games.
Oh, yeah. 25 total, I think. 11 tomorrow. So, that's a full nine of games. That's a Friday night.
It is. And we've talked about this before, how the UIL has kind of watered down the scenario.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to find a place to play in these early rounds. And so, you see a lot of Thursday games, people jumping on those locations trying to play somewhere because hardly anywhere to play with so many teams going to the playoffs.
And to me, that's in this. I don't give my opinion on this very often, but I'm going to say it here. I the UIL, you know, and they do their thing, and they're a tremendous organization. I know what they're about. of course, everybody wants to make a buck too. You know, and
there's some money involved.
To the lighter state. And four teams is a little watered down. There's a couple teams you can look at around the state and say, wow, okay, how'd they get in? But, you know, if you can't find a place to play, I don't understand why. One thing I'd like to see more is home and home.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'd
absolutely
like to see, you know, at any level. Because you're looking at two teams, like, take Memphis and Shamrock, for instance. Okay, you're going all the way to Amarillo to play, and I get it. Food's better here. You know, yeah, the shopping's better here. But, you know, Memphis and Shamrock are, what, 35 minutes away from each other?
They could totally play a home and home.
Yeah.
Play at one of those locations. It's not really a huge home field advantage. I mean, you're that close. You
know, and I'm not trying to single out those teams. I'm just saying.
No, that's a good example.
It is. And I know, you know, like, everybody wants that playoff experience, but – you know, I just think that you need a little more home-and-home games, like Tascosa is going to do this Friday.
Well, I don't – you know, I understand there's money involved, but also I think when you move it to four teams and you take four teams out of every district, this is just my opinion, but
yeah,
you really lose those good matchups in the first round.
Oh, I completely agree.
And then the district champion has no reward whatsoever for being the district champion because, you know, sometimes a bye is good, sometimes it's not, but it's always good to have time to rest your players at the end of the season to get that bye, and you should earn that bye by winning the district championship. And then your first-round playoffs are going to be a much better matchup than a 4 seed against a 1 seed. You might have a 2 against 3,
yeah,
you know, and so those are much better matchups we're going to see. And that's what it's about for me is a lot of times when you take four teams, you're not going to see that 4 seed take down a 1 seed 99% of the time.
An example last year, and I'm not trying to, again, single teams out, but I go to Canadian Hill Center last year. That's a joke. Are you kidding me? I mean, Canadian scored in 4 plays. It's 28-0 with 8 minutes to go in the first quarter. It's, you know, I mean, Hill Center can't feel good about themselves.
You can't – and this, you know, single out Hill Center, but they've got Stratford this year in the first round.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you just don't expect that to be a good game either.
No,
so,
you don't.
Yeah, you just see a lot of really – poor matchups in a team that maybe wouldn't make the playoffs. They didn't have a great regular season, but they got into the playoffs. Then they get a 1 seed, and you know.
But then you get those 2-3 seeds that are fun, like Bovina and Seagraves.
There are some very good matchups. Yeah, yeah.
But there's both sides of the coin, I mean, we just noticed that. But one thing I'd like to see, like these guys are fighting for fields, and I'm like, man, just flip a coin, play home and home.
Yeah, I'd like to see a
lot
more
of that,
too.
You don't have to play on turf every game.
And speaking of home and home, we're seeing that a little bit. Tascosa
and
Montwood from El Paso, they're doing a home and home.
Yeah.
And they actually are playing in Amarillo.
Right, and Dick Bivens at 6:30, too. And not only that, Amarillo or Tascosa last year made that nice push in the playoffs 3 rounds deep to Denton Ryan. And, hey, for the first time this year, we're going to get Lance Lonert, my boss on the show. And we got him to talk about Tascosa. He knows Tascosa and Ken Plunk inside and out. And he joins us here. Hey, Lance, thanks for joining us here, bud.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you guys are doing a great job this year. You know, that's been a real blessing to the Panhandle and everybody. Obviously, we can go nationwide now with this thing, but it's a really popular show now. Congrats on your guys' show.
Hey, I appreciate that. We look, and anytime we get a guy like you on here, man, it just helps us out. So, you're a knowledgeable guy, especially about Tascosa. I know you and Coach Plunk are so close, and man, they get a home game. How lucky is that, first off?
Yeah, I mean, look what happened to them last year. You know, obviously we saw the great game up here in Bivens, 3 rounds deep, and with Denton. And so, yeah, I think they have that vibe coming in. You know, obviously having a loss to San Angelo Central coming in isn't kind of the momentum you want, but then let's look at who San Angelo Central is, you know. Undefeated, probably a legit chance to be a regional finalist, you know, if they keep on a roll. One of the best all-around teams we've had in Dick Bivens in a long time.
I agree. And hey, before we get into the game, you know, you're a big guy on like me, on early start times, 6:30.
Yeah. I'm laughing because Kel and I talk about that constantly, Steve. It's crazy. But we're selfish that way. It helps deadlines. But we also look at this real quick, Kale, don't we? Fans can get home earlier if you want to go watch the wrap-up shows on TV, not to plug them, but you get a chance to do that. I think it's just better for everybody involved.
I think so, too. Yeah, you get home earlier, people that have to travel, especially. Now to the game, you know, we don't see Montwood on a regular basis, but we know what Tascosa is all about. What does Tascosa have to do, you feel, you know, to
– Well, Montwood's going to throw it 70% of the time, Kale. So Steve sees Canadian a lot. So hello, Canadian, you know, in a El Paso Montwood uniform. But So their defensive backs we put to the test. Are they capable? We know they are. You know, they have Burt Morris back there, the great athlete you and I both like to watch play.
Oh, yeah.
So they will definitely have to stop the pass. And then obviously, Montwood, and their challenge will be they haven't seen an offense like Tascosa's, you know, the good old school option offense, which Tascosa's got down about as good as anybody in our area.
How many running backs are we going to see Tascosa go with?
Give them credit. I mean, they're not worn out, okay?
No.
Worn out. So we have 9 or 10 that will probably touch the ball, including the two-headed monster quarterback. So I think you'll see a simple case of can Tascosa's defense stop the pass? Can Montwood's defense stop the rush?
Perfect.
That will be the bottom line. Montwood 7-3 coming in, Cale. 6-1 in district, tied for that district title. So obviously they have momentum winning a lot of games. They've tasted that all year. I don't think Montwood's as good as, let's say, a Midland High or a San Angelo Central, two of the teams that defeated Tascosa. But we shall see.
Right. And, hey, real quick, before we let you go, who else, what games, you know, you and I have been looking at these games every day. We should know them in and out by now. What game circles do you circle when it comes to the playoffs here at any level that you like to see?
The team I'm kind of looking at, you mean? Maybe?
Yeah, maybe the team you're kind of looking at, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Perryton and what Coach Kershey's done up there. You know that, Cale? I watched him over at Bushland early in the year. Came away highly impressed. So I'm anxious to see if they can get on a playoff run. Of course, you do a great job with our six-man football, but how can you not root for Ty Keith and Valley to get on a roll and see if they can get to Jerry's World? And then, I don't, you know, maybe the game, I want to see how Canyon does, you know what I mean?
Right.
So they can kind of get back on a roll with Gunner and the boys getting it done on offense. So those are kind of the three I'm really kind of watching really close.
I agree, and happy, you know, obviously a really good chance to get deep with that region that they're in. No Borden County till the semis. So, you know, I know.
Yeah, and that's why the state, we've talked about that. Anybody who's watching that, that's part of the state championship game. I'm not trying to predict that far down,
right.
But that's a huge semifinal game, yeah. So we have a lot of interesting matchups. You guys do see the records. You know, there's some teams that have 1 and 2 wins, so this first round can be a bit iffy, but there are a couple of matchups that are legit.
All right, man. Well, hey, I appreciate it, Lance. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, anytime, guys, anytime. Yeah.
There he is, Lance Lauder. Man, that guy just knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, he's been doing this for a long time. I mean,
that's all off the cuff, man. That's
very knowledgeable, yeah.
Yeah.
Appreciate Lance joining us.
First time this year, man. Yeah, he's been busy. We've asked him a couple times. I know how his Wednesday schedule works, so Wednesday is always a tough day to come tape. But I'm glad he was able to come and get on here and spread his knowledge. That guy's so good at what he does, and I've learned a ton working with him. So,
well, he told you all about the Tascosa Montwood matchup,
yeah.
And again, that game 6:30 on Friday over at Dick Bivens Stadium in Amarillo. Tascosa 6-4 on the year going into this round of the playoffs. Montwood 7-3. One thing I noticed about Montwood is a lot of the games that they play this year, I would say the majority of games, wins or losses have been very, very close games.
Have they?
Yeah. So they've had a pretty good season at 7-3. So should be a good one and a tough challenge for the Rebels.
Good stuff, man.
And that, again, that's 6:30 Friday night at Dick Bivens if you want to go watch that one. Moving from 6A down to 5A, all four teams here. Emerald High, start with them. They've got Lubbock Monterey and a similar record, 7-2. Emerald High, Lubbock Monterey, 7-3. They'll play in Lowry Field at Lubbock 7 p.m. on Friday.
Another home-and-home game, which we like to see there. And, man, what a classic this is going to be. 3-5A and 4-5A. All these teams are pretty equal, you know, up and down the scale. But Emerald High's really found their way after losing the Caprock. They've won 5 in a row, 6 in a row. And I expect them to get another win against Monterey. Monterey's a solid team. They've made leaps and bounds from last year, but, you know, Emerald High's ground game and defense is just going to be a little too much.
Well, you're right about that, about the matchups. They seem on paper, they seem like all good matchups here in
fun.
This 5A.
Yeah.
You know, again, Emerald High 7-2, Lubbock Monterey 7-3. The next one we'll talk about, Lubbock Coronado 9-1 versus an 8-2 Caprock team Saturday at Dick Bivens.
Yeah, another home-and-home game like you like to see. And 1 p.m., and that's always great. It's an afternoon game. But, hey, how about Seth Parr? The old Caprock coach coming back, Dan Rello, to face his old team, and Dan Sherwood, his old assistant. That's going to be a, a pretty neat deal. I know Parr's probably real excited for that. I know Dan Sherwood's probably excited to, you know, go against his mentor. So, Caprock's playing well. They've done everything they could. They beat Canyon. They beat Emerald High. Their resume has the stature there to play a team like Coronado. Coronado, probably the most improved team in the Lubbock area this year. What are they, 8-2?
9-1.
9-1, yeah. I mean, they only lost one game. So, I mean, I saw them against Randall. They have a lot of firepower offensively, like a Seth Parr team always does. This game, we could see, Steve, is a lot of points. This game could get in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah, and what a cool story that is about Seth Parr coming home and facing his old team and Caprock and Dan Sherwood. That should be a fun one to watch, though. I think Caprock is rolling, like you said, you know, at the right time. So definitely should be a good matchup between Caprock and Coronado, 1 p.m. Saturday, Dick Bivens Stadium in Amarillo. And then Canyon at 8-2, they'll take on Lubbock Cooper, 7-2.
That's a good game, man.
On Friday night.
Lubbock Cooper, you know, they had Emerald High. They didn't beat them because it went to a rain, but they had them down 7-0 half. They beat up a few of our teams around here early. They're Jared Dagey, you know, one of the top quarterbacks on the South Plains and in the state for Cooper. And then you got Gunnar Palacios, Jalen Ford, Dane Douglas. You know, Canyon's got the resume. It's going to be a really good game. It's hard to even pick this game, because it's just pretty evenly matched. But I think I'm thinking in my head Canyon can get out of there and get this win.
Lots of good matchups in 5A. I mean, if you look at, we did talk earlier about some of the poorer matchups, you know, not great, but this you can't say that about 5A.
These games are loaded.
Definitely loaded. And speaking of that, Dumas has had a great season.
Yeah.
Under Coach Dunham, 8-2 on the year. They're going to be facing Abilene Cooper, 6-4. And
that's a deceiving
Thursday.
6-4, you know.
They're playing at the Jones.
At Jones Stadium, yeah. That's, I don't know if they can fill that 60,000-seat stadium, but no, they'll both get good crowds. I know this is a big deal for Chad Dunham, and you know how fired up him and Aaron are going to be for this game. And Dumas is a solid football team. We've said it all year. It's going to come down to their defense, though.
And I think, like you said, it's, don't look at 6-4 like, no, you know, they're not going to be able to compete with Dumas.
Cooper is always good, and they're always solid, and their offense is good. And I'm thinking Dumas' defense is going to have to show up for them to get a win.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough game. But, again, we've talked about Dumas all year. They've had a great season, and hopefully they can continue it tomorrow night at the Jones in Lubbock at 7:30. That'll do it for 5A. Moving down to 4A, Borger made the playoffs because all four teams in their district made the playoffs. And they have an 1-8 record. Unfortunately, they're facing an Andrews team who's pretty good, 9-1 on the season. That game tomorrow in Lubbock at 7 p.m.
Yeah, let's just hope, you know, Borger can hope a new fresh start will help them out. I know they didn't win a district game, but default for a four-team district getting in. And one of those teams you look at and you say, 1-8, wow. But Borger has some talent. You know, Miguel Rangel is one of the best linebackers. So let's hope that they can do their best and go out there and play hard against a really good Andrews team in a great district.
Pampa's had a pretty good year. They kind of fell off a little bit, but they can still be an offensive juggernaut if you look at them. They've got a lot of power, and they can be very explosive on offense. And 5-5 on the year, though, Pampa, they're facing Clint, who's 9-1. And that game is Friday night, 7 p.m. in Odessa.
Yeah, and Pampa's had 2 weeks now to think about the playoffs and get healthy and get what they needed to do done. And that offense is good. Brandon Stewart's going to need a big night throwing the football around. But that Pampa defense is giving up 34 points a game. They can't do that to a Clint team. Clint likes to ground and pound. They run the wishbone. They can't let that team run all over them like Levland did. And they're going to have to maintain some kind of defensive presence to let that offense score and do what they do.
Yeah, definitely. So, and we talked about this on Monday, is just you can't allow that many points per game in the playoffs and expect to win very many games. You might get through one or two, but, yeah, definitely going to have to shore up some things on the defensive end for Pampa, and hopefully they can do that and come away with a victory against Clint on Friday. Perryton is 9-1, having a great season. They lost their first game of the year against Dumas. Haven't lost since. They're facing Seminole, who's 6-3. That game Friday, 7 p.m., at Bulldog Stadium in Plainview. I think Perryton's just going to continue to roll right now.
Yeah, I agree. Completely agree. We heard Lance say it earlier. He's looking forward to it, so are we. I expect Perryton to be playing in the area round next week.
Yeah, definitely. They're going to be difficult to stop. I think they could go a long way in these playoffs. And a lot of excitement surrounding the Rangers this year, and rightly so, as they've had an excellent year. Sweetwater is going to face Dalhart. Unfortunately for Dalhart, I have to say, they've had a tough year at 2-8. They did make the playoffs.
Hey, they won two out of the last three there to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, they did that. They're facing a tough Sweetwater team who's 8-1. That game Thursday at 7 p.m. in Loveland, and hopefully the Golden Wolves can come away with a win. But
yeah, I don't know, man. Sweetwater's really they're a different level. But hey, still give it up to Joey Reed and them to fight to get in the playoffs to begin with.
That's right. And the last team we'll talk about here in 4A is Bushland. 5-4, but that's a deceiving 5-4 if you ask me. Facing Greenwood, who's 7-2 on the year. That game tomorrow, Thursday, in Lubbock Cupper, 7 p.m. But Bushland is a dangerous team. And they got into the playoffs, but I think that they're going to be very dangerous in the playoffs. They're going to be hard to deal with for sure with Colton Moore at quarterback.
Yeah, and their defense is like Pampa is going to have to play a lot better. They're giving up 474 yards a game. They've yet to get a win. They made the playoffs third straight year under Jimmy Thomas, but haven't got a win yet. I think this is the year, though. If Colton Moore plays the way he knows we can, if the defense just, you know, bends, not breaks, I think you'll see this team get to area.
Yeah, I mean, and Colton Moore has weapons, too, in Gage Clymer and Boston Andrews, you know, behind him. I mean, he's got some weapons that he can utilize. Maybe have to shore some things up on defense to be able to get through there. But I do think that the Falcons get their first playoff win.
I like it.
Moving down to 3A Division One, Littlefield won their district. They're 7-3 on the year. They're going to face Crane, who's 3-7, Friday night in Denver City, 7 p.m.
That's weird to hear the Crane Golden Cranes are 3-7. As proud a tradition as they have and as many playoff games as they won, but Littlefield, I like Littlefield. They're playing well right now. They went in and won a tough district, and Brian Huseman's got those guys rolling, and I expect them to roll through the Golden Cranes.
I think the Crane Golden Cranes.
Yeah, the Crane Golden Cranes, yeah. It's what a nickname.
Yeah, you got to love that name. Also, in 3A Division One, Wall is going to face Shallowwater. Shallowwater is traditionally such a good football team.
Wall's a real deal. Man.
Wall is a real deal this year.
This isn't Shallowwater's year. No offense to Chad Terry. He's done a good job with no seniors and a lot of young guys, but Wall's the real deal. I wouldn't want to face Wall.
This will be a tough challenge for Shallowwater.
Shallowwater's going to hit the wall. Let's just put it that way.
I think they will. You know, they have a traditionally great football program this year. They're down a little bit, 2-8 on the year. Anyway, that game against Wall is going to be Friday in Snyder at 7 p.m. Muleshoe, 6-4 on the year. They're facing Kermit, 7 p.m. Friday in Denver City.
Harris Ratings have them as a heavy favorite, which you know, is kind of interesting. You know, but when it's Muleshoe in the playoffs, David Wood, you never know, man. They could score points. Beto Diaz and Jason Flores is probably the best 1-2 combination in the area when it comes to quarterback and receiver.
And the River Road Wildcats, 6-4 on the year, had a great district season. Almost got a championship out of it. And they're facing Grape Creek.
Yeah.
Who's 6-3. That game Friday in Loveland, 7 o'clock.
That game's gonna be a very close physical football game. I don't know who's gonna really win that one. It's one of those where I really don't, couldn't tell you. River Road's gonna have to go in and play with a team that's been there and a team that's not just happy to be there. You know, does that make sense? It's their first playoff appearance since 2009 when they went three rounds deep. But they need to go in there, act like they've been there before. Kevin Connor, Don Velasquez, those guys need to go in there and just, you know, be physical, announce their authority early, and just go out there and play good football.
Yeah, I'm with you. And one thing that's maybe not too good about that game is the winner of River Road and Grape Creek, guess who's waiting for him?
Who?
Brock.
Oh.
Brock is undefeated, the state champion.
I saw Brock
last year,
yeah.
And they're undefeated this year, 10-0. I don't have any doubt Brock's going to win their first playoff game. They're going to be 11-0, and they're going to be waiting on the winner of River Road and Grape Creek.
Yeah, but what a job by Wiggins and his staff and River Road. Hey, let's hope they get to Brock, and you never know.
You never know what can happen. You know, but Brock is one of those teams that you just don't really want to face, especially in the second round of the playoffs. They're going to be very dangerous, I think. They're going to have another great year. Good. Moving down to 3A Division II, Canadian. 8-2 on the year. They're going to face Lubbock Roosevelt 7 p.m. tomorrow over at Kimbrough Memorial Stadium in Canyon.
You're calling that game on the
Canadian Sports Network. Yeah, you can listen to it on CanadianSportsNet.com. You can also download our free app, Canadian Sports Network, and listen that way. But, yeah, we'll be calling that game. Our coach's show with Coach Chris Ketting will start at 6:30 tomorrow.
And I won't be listening because I'll be there.
Kale's going to be there, and he's going to come on with us during pregame.
Yep.
And anyway, tune in if you want to hear that game. But Lubbock Roosevelt, they've had a tough season. They're 3-7, and I don't expect this one to be close. I think This is not a great matchup for Lubbock Roosevelt.
Canadian hadn't lost a playoff game since 2013. They've won 11 straight in two state championships, and they're 38-0 in Cameron Coffey plays. So why not, man? Why not make it 39-0 and let's make it 12 in a row in the playoffs? Yeah, it's going to be an interesting challenge for them being in 3A because Eastland's waiting for them.
Yeah, I was going to mention Eastland is coming up next for the winner of that game.
Yeah, and that's going to be a really good game. Yeah, I think Canadian's going to roll through or get through Lubbock Roosevelt, no problem.
Yeah, I don't see any problem there. It's, again, not a great matchup for Lubbock Roosevelt. Idaloo is also facing the Dimmitt Bobcats.
Hey, 40 years in the making.
Friday at 7 p.m. Randall at Randall High School. But, yeah, Dimmitt hasn't made the playoffs in four decades.
Yeah.
They finally make the playoffs under head coach Steve Gunner. And they've got to face Idaloo. But, really, I kind of like this matchup. Idaloo is always a tough out, but it seems like to me this year they're not as dominant as they have been in years past, and maybe they're human.
Yeah.
And maybe Dimmitt can take a run at Idaloo.
Idaloo's been in this position a million times. Dimmitt hasn't, straight and simple. But can Dimmitt score? Dimmitt can score the points, but can they stop him? Yeah. That's going to be the thing.
I think we talked about it earlier. We think Dimmitt's probably going to score points on Idaloo.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
We've seen it all year from Dimmitt. But, yeah, they're going to have to stop Idaloo. Again, experience could play a lot into that.
I agree.
But we'll see what happens. I think I might head out to that game and see if Dimmitt can do anything with Idaloo. But you got to root for the Bobcats. First time making the playoffs in 40 years.
Oh, man. It's a feel-good story, man. And they're good kids, and they've been fighting for this. And it's great to see.
And you know how excited they were after they won that game against Highland Park last Friday to actually get into the playoffs. And Coach Gunner was on Dave Campbell's yesterday.
Tepper show.
Yeah, Tepper show. And he was talking about he got a Gatorade shower.
Did he?
You know, after that Highland Park game.
Well deserved.
Yeah, definitely
he
was.
He stuck it out, man. 7 years. That's not an easy job to be. A lot of that coaching carousel used to come through there quite a bit. And he's stuck to it, and he's built something, him and his son Landry. And I'm proud of both of them. Congrats to both of them. And let's hope they could pull the upset on Friday.
At a 1-3A Division II Spearman as well. Of course, they're a perennial playoff team. They make the playoffs every year, kind of like Canadian does. But you go from one extreme to the other. Dimmitt, having never made the playoffs in 40 years, to Spearman.
Who always makes the playoffs.
Makes the playoffs about every single year. They've got a pretty good matchup, I think, this week in Colorado City.
Yeah. Spearman's a team, you know, you've seen them. They play well against some opponents. And some, you know, like Canadian Childress, they didn't play very well. I know they want those games back, but Childress, I mean, they're a team. If they can hold the ball and keep it away from the defense, that's what they do best. So they'll have to try to get an early lead on Colorado City. Just hang on.
They're playing in Toya at Younger Field, 7 p.m. on Friday. But, again, I think that's a good matchup for Spearman. I think they win their first playoff game here in 2016. And the other team out of that District 1-3A Division 2, Childress, is 7-3. They're facing Kahoma at 7 p.m. Friday in Friendship. I think Childress is a dangerous team.
Yeah.
I've seen them play. They played Canadian very close, 18-17. Narrowly lost that game to Canadian. But, man, they're going to be a dangerous team. They've got some talent on that team for sure.
The only bad thing is being that two seed, and that's why Canadian or Childress really wanted to win that district is because what's waiting for you?
Cisco.
Yes.
Most likely.
And then Sonora. So it's just like you got to run a gauntlet through that 2A region. Or 3A region, sorry. Where they're in. And, yeah, but you, like you said, Jason Sims, they know how to win playoff games. They know how to win games when they need to. They've been a fundamentally sound team all year, and that's the kind of games they can win is if they don't turn the ball over, don't make mistakes, or disciplined. I just really see – I'm with you. They're very dangerous.
Luke Darter at quarterback is very, very dangerous.
And their defense is pretty – and their defense is very impressive.
You also have Bo Lott.
Yeah, always talking about the bowling ball. Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, I think the Bobcats are very dangerous, and they've got a good shot at Cisco. I do see that matchup probably happening as Childress most likely beats Kahoma this Friday, moves on to the next round. They're going to end up facing Cisco most likely, and I think they can give Cisco a run for their money.
I do too.
Well, that'll do it for 3A. Now moving down to 2A Division I, the Stratford Elks are impressing everybody this year, only one loss on the season, and they've got Hill Center 7 p.m. tomorrow, Thursday, over at Canyon High School.
There's no Canadian for Stratford to face this year.
That's one thing, because you have to look at it as a Stratford fan or as a coach. You've had Canadian in your way the last 2 years, and we know how dominant that Canadian team was, and you had to just look at them and be like, man, well, now they're gone. Yeah. You got to see an opening there if you're the Elks.
Because you said they haven't lost a game to anybody but Canadian in, what, 2 years?
This is a third year. This is a third season. Yeah. They have five losses, and they're all the Canadian.
Yeah, see, so they're not there anymore, and that kind of gives them an early advantage. I mean, a very tough region. You know, I don't think they're going to – that's one of those matchups, that 1-4 where you're just like, eh. You know, I think that Stratford, if they play the way they should, can get out of there early and get them a W and get ready for area.
I've seen some stuff online about Hill Center being picked against in this game and people not liking it. But to be honest with you, that's the way it's got to go. You got a dominating Stratford team at 9-1.
Yeah.
You know this is not a good matchup for Hill Center. You expect Stratford to roll in this one. Anything could happen. We've seen it happen before, but this is not a good matchup for Hill Center. Moving down to Sunray, they're 4-5 on the year, but to me, you know, that's a pretty good 4-5. I think they're a good, better team than that. They're facing Abernathy, who's 8-2 on paper. This looks like it could go to Abernathy. I actually think Sunray's got a pretty good shot at this game.
Ethan Brotherton can make a difference on both sides of the ball, but, you know, Bryson Daly is a freshman quarterback for Abernathy. He's thrown for 1,800 yards. He's a legit guy, man, and he doesn't play like a freshman. So they're going to have to slow him down. I know they struggled when they played New Deal in that kind of offense, but Sunray did, giving up 64 points and 300-plus yards to the Adams kid. But, yeah, they're going to – Ethan Brotherton's a game changer. If they could get him rolling and if he could make a couple of plays on defense, yeah, they can hang in this game. They're not outmatched by any means, I don't think.
No, you look at it on paper, 4-5 record versus an 8-2. That's deceiving because I think Sunray
– I think Sunray's district was way better too.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And I think Abernathy has an 8-2 record. Looks pretty good, but I'm not necessarily sure that they played that well to an 8-2 record all year. I think Sunray, their 4-5 record looks worse. I think they have a great shot at Abernathy, though. 7 p.m. Friday. That game's in Bushland.
Yeah. I have to go out there and check. That could be a game to go check out for sure.
That should be a good one to go see. West Texas High, 7-3 on the year. They're going to face New Deal, who's one of those other perennial playoff teams. New Deal, 9-1 on the year. That game's 7:30 at Kimbrough Memorial Stadium in Canyon on Friday.
Not to take anything away from Matt Hill's team at New Deal. And that, like I said, that Mark Adams kid is a real deal. But big-time running back that can run over everybody. But historically, New Deal not good in the playoffs. You saw it last year as the number – undefeated. Panhandle knocked them off. You were at that game last year. I was at that game. You saw that ending. And in years past, they've bowed out early. West Texas High is probably the best 7-3 three seed to ever walk into the 2A playoffs because Stephen Flowers, first time to get them in his 3 years. But you've seen their receiver core. They're big. Nathan Thompson, Emilio Hernandez – Dallas Riggs, they got loaded talent. Jalen Conyers is playing great as a freshman quarterback. They didn't show up against Panhandle, but they lost to Stratford, pretty much gave the game away to Stratford. So I can see I'm going to pick WT High here.
Don't do it.
No, I'm picking them. Oh, no, I can't do that. Flowers will kill me. Never mind. I'm going to take New Deal to slightly beat.
There you go.
Slightly beat WTI. No, it's going to be a good game either way. Harris Reading has that game at 3 points. I like that pick. It's going to be close coming down to the end.
Yeah, I like it as well. I think that's a pretty good matchup.
Yeah.
And it should be a fun game to watch if you can catch that one at Kimbrough Memorial Stadium and on Friday night at 7:30. The last team in 2A Division One we'll talk about is the Panhandle Panthers under Coach Ashley, 7-3 on the year, facing a 5-5 Sundown team at Greg Sherwood Memorial Bulldog Stadium over in Plainview, 7 p.m. tomorrow night, Thursday.
I like Panhandle in this one. I don't think they'll have a problem at all. Leighton Lamberson and Colby Neely probably have two good games, and that ground game is good, and their defense is hard-nosed, so I think they're going to take out the Roughnecks.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think Coach Ashley, they get a – playoff win and by district for sure. Mm-hmm. Against Sundown, moving down to 2A Division II. And this is a fun district in 2A that we've talked about is coming out of 2A, some of these teams. But Vega is 6-4. First team we'll talk about. They're facing Crosbyton 4-6. That game at Canyon High School on Friday night.
Vega, back-to-back district champions. Last year, 10-0 at this point, and got 11-0 before Crosbyton knocked them out. Different Crosbyton team. They had to fight to get into that four seed. So this could be a vengeance game a little bit for Vega. I know Jason Porton and them had this circled on the calendar. They're going to have a lot of motivation to go play Crosbyton and beat them. And I really think, and no offense to anybody here, but this is 1-2A's chance to beat 2-2A. The other games are going to be tough, very tough. As we keep talking.
Yeah, definitely. Memphis Cyclones, this is one game that this is a tough one. 9-1 on the season.
Yeah.
They're playing Shamrock tomorrow night, Thursday at Randall High School.
Shamrock
2-8. They got into the playoffs, but you talk about tough matchups. This is a tough one for Shamrock.
Oh, yeah.
It's a tough one for Sam Wright.
I thought you were about to say this is a tough one for Memphis. No. This David Dixon is going to put on a show here, and I don't see Memphis having a problem. No offense to Shamrock, but they don't have the firepower that Memphis does. And guess who's coming up for this game?
Our boy Matt Stepp.
Matt Stepp from Texas, Dave Campbell's Texas Football. He was with the old coach before, now with Dave Campbell's. He's a Twitter guru. We've all known him through there. He knows his stuff, man, and he comes and travels around. We're having lunch tomorrow at Tyler's Barbecue, 11 a.m. Hey, if you want to join us, anybody out there listening to this podcast, come to Tyler's Barbecue for macaroni, bacon macaroni. I'd love to have you come. Come eat with us. Come talk some high school football, 11 a.m. at Tyler's Barbecue. But anyway, I caught up with Mr. Stepp.
Hey, Steve Harvey needs to go meet Matt Stepp.
Steve Harvey. Yeah. You know, I forget he called you
I've
Steve Harvey.
I've been around Matt at some different venues, especially at the state games the last 2 years, but never really formally met him. But, yeah, he calls me Steve Harvey.
Yeah.
So I think Steve Harvey will make his way down to Tyler's Barbecue tomorrow and get some green chili mac and cheese. And, yeah, you did get a chance to talk to Matt Stepp, didn't you?
I did.
Hey, Matt, thanks for joining us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Kale. You guys do a great job up there. Listen to your show every week.
Hey, man, we're big fans of you, too, at Dave Campbell's Magazine, doing good things all the time. The guru, Matt Stepp, baking your annual trip back up here, not only to see me and Lance, but to cover some football. Where are you going?
Yeah, Thursday night I'm going to be checking out Memphis and Shamrock over at Randall High School. On paper, a little bit of a lopsided matchup, not like last year when I saw Wheeler and Spring Lake Earth. Classic game, but you know I really want to see Memphis. David Dixon, running back, really great player. Heard lots of great things about him.
Yeah, he's a real.
I think Memphis is a great shot to make a lot of noise in the playoffs this year. So I want to get a good look at them in person and kind of see where they rank against some of the other great teams in 2A Division II.
You see a lot of teams, especially some great teams in the Metroplex. What do you like coming up here about the Panhandle the most when you make the visit?
Oh, it's the hospitality from the coaches and the fans and everyone up there is just really friendly people. A lot of great food in Amarillo. A lot of great football. I enjoy visiting the stadiums. It's a different pace of life and different environment up there than the hustle and bustle of Dallas, Fort Worth, or Houston. But the football is great, and the community is really rallied behind their team. And it's just a lot of fun to kind of travel to Amarillo, really all over the state. You know, we've got such a large state, and in different pockets of the state, the football has its own unique flavor and flair from Amarillo down to the Rio Grande Valley, all across east and west. It's a lot of fun. It really shows the diversity of our great state.
Steve and I are obviously advocates here for the Panhandle, big fans. I know you're a fan when you come up here. How much great talent do you think is maybe hidden up in this part of the woods or non-woods, plains, as you would say?
Yeah, I think there's talented kids in the Panhandle for sure. You know, I think obviously the kids in the city, the larger metro areas get a little more publicity because they have more access to things. You know, there's a lot of camps, a lot of individual training that's done in the larger cities because there's bigger population centers, so the guys that do those kind of things are going to congregate there because simply from a business perspective, there's more opportunity for clients and those types of things in those larger areas.
Matt Stepp, again, going to be here tomorrow night. And, again, for all you football gurus that want to come to Tyler's Barbecue, come join us for a little football and barbecue at 11 a.m. Please show up, Steve Forrest, Gar Harvey. I know you'll be there with me.
Steve Forrest,
yeah,
Harvey.
Fun. Yeah, that'll be a good time, man. And then he's going to come in the office and hang out with Lance and I for a little bit, and Lee Passport and Colby Gordon, and then off to Shamrock in Memphis.
Well, Bovina, they're 8-1 on the year. They're playing Seagraves, who's 7-3. That game's 7:30 at Thursday in Denver City. We mentioned it on Monday. This is a different Seagraves team that Bovina is going to be facing this year. No Corey Kyle.
And this is a game. This is one of those matchups. You're like, okay, I can get into this one. This is 2 versus 3. This is a throwing team against a running team. It's going to be a lot of fun. I expect a lot of points in that game.
Farwell's 9-1 on the year. They're going to be facing Tohoka, who's 5-5, tomorrow night, Thursday in Abernathy.
I like Farwell. I think they'll play Wellington if they win, and I like Farwell a lot. And I don't think they'll have any problems tomorrow.
And also a team that we've had our eye on all year, the Wellington Skyrockets are 9-1. They're facing Groover. This is a good matchup for Wellington, not so much for Groover, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That game is actually played in Canadian at 7 p.m. on Friday.
I'm with you on that. I like Groover, but I love Terry Felderhoff. Wellington's a different animal right now.
Yeah, well, I expect Wellington to go very, very deep this playoff run, and it's going to be a tough challenge for Groover. Wheeler is 6-4 on the year. They're facing the fighting Gary Jacks. The Clarendon Broncos.
This will be a very fun matchup.
Thursday at River Road here in Amarillo, 7 p.m., but we know that Clarendon's had just a great season so far.
Yeah. What I like about this game is you got scenario here. You got a great defensive line against Wheeler's holding guest, and then you got Wheeler's off defense against a tri-headed monster that Clarendon can bring with the Cortez boys in the backfield. So it's going to be – I think this is going to be the best matchup out of those two districts, this game. Probably the most competitive, if you ask me.
Well, that'll do it for 2A. And moving down to your specialty, 1A six-man football in Division One. We know the Happy Cowboys are going to be facing Anton.
Yeah, they're going to be rolling Anton.
And we know they're going to roll Anton. We know the Happy Cowboys are going to roll a long, long way.
Yeah, there's nobody in their league in this region, and that's cocky to say or arrogant to say, call me that, but there's this third. If you haven't seen them, go see them because they're the real deal.
Yeah, they definitely are. Another game, they're going to be facing Nazareth, 7-3 on the year, facing a White Deer team at 6-4. That game Thursday in Silverton.
This game's going to be a little closer than people think. White Deer's on fire right now, and Justin Rucker's got them playing, young team playing well. Nazareth is good, Trayton McClain, Jake Gerber, but I think White Deer can hold their own. Now, can they win? I can't guarantee that, but they'll hold their own. I don't think they're going to get blown out by any means.
Moving to Division Two in six-man football, Follett, 8-2 on the year. They're going to be over at Groom, 5-4, that game Friday.
Yeah.
Friday night in White Deer.
Follett's going to be a tough out. You know, state runner-up last year. I see them advancing this year.
And then the last team we'll talk about is Valley, 8-2 on the year, facing a good LaForce team at 9-1. This is a good matchup, 7:30 tomorrow, Thursday in Groom.
Yeah, and it is a good matchup, but Valley is just Valley, and everybody's picked them to go deep, and I picked them to go to at least the state semifinal, state quarterfinal, semifinal region. So, yeah, I like LaForce, and I love what Joe Riley's done, but it's going to be Valley's game.
Try telling Kendon Lott that.
I'm not going to tell him that because he'll beat me up. But
yeah. No, I think you're right. Valley's
I like Kendon Lott.
It'll be a tough out.
And Kendon Lott's one of the few six-man guys getting a lot of looks from colleges, and that's awesome for him. And I like LaForce, but, I mean, golly, when you only have two teams going, this is the kind of matchup you get. And Valley's just the real deal. They got too much when it comes to their team.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Well, that's going to do it for all of our high school football preview on the bi-district matchups. And that will do it for this edition of the TPS Podcast. We'd like to say a big thank you to our friends over at Belmar Bakery and Cafe in Amarillo and Security Insurance Agency in Perryton and Booker. Big thanks to them for sponsoring our TPS Podcast. Couldn't do it without them for sure. Stay tuned for our next episode coming Monday, November 14th. We'll recap all the bi-district matchups and all classifications and much, much more. Until then, I'm Steve Forrest for Kale Steed. Have a great day, everyone. I made the change from a common thief to up close and personal with Robin Leach, and I'm far from